Welcome back in. Today we're discussing our week six must-start plays at every single position. We're going to go through quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end to get you ready for your week six matchup. Let's go ahead and start with the quarterback position. And we're going to hit on is going to be Caleb Williams in this matchup against the Commanders. Caleb Williams has bounced back in a big way with Ben Johnson calling the plays. Williams is currently the QB6, averaging 21 fantasy points per game, and he ranks 7th in fantasy points per dropback. He's also averaging 23.1 passing yards and 2 touchdowns per game. Now, fresh off their Week 5 bye, the Bears will take on a Commanders defense that has allowed the 11th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. This game also has the second highest total on the slate of 50 points. Caleb is easily a top 10 play for me this week. Next up, we're going to move over to Justin Herbert. I can already hear the groans when it comes to playing Justin Herbert after a scorching hot start the first 2 weeks. Herbert hasn't scored more than 16 fantasy points in a game. Last week against the Commanders, the Chargers tried to go back to a little bit more run-heavy approach. Herbert only threw the ball 29 times, which was the second lowest mark of the season. Now we have Omarion Hampton, who's now on IR. We're going to have Hassan Haskins and Kamani Vidal take over as the running backs here. I can't imagine the Chargers continuing to trend another week, though, trying to be more run-heavy with their current options. Herbert was averaging 245 yards and 2 touchdowns per game and averaging 18.5 fantasy points per game. And now next up, they get a road matchup against the Dolphins that is among the worst in the league. They're allowing the 3rd most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Herbert remains a top 10 quarterback again for me this week. Last thing we're going to hit on is going to be Sam Darnold, who I have as my QB12 for 2 consecutive weeks. Sam Darnold has been featured in this video. Darnold continues to be one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league. His 9.3 yards per attempt is absolutely ridiculous. He ranks 3rd in passer rating, 4th in EPA per dropback, and it has a 79% completion percentage, which is 2nd highest among quarterback. He also ranks 2nd in deep ball completion percentage and 6th in pressure completion percentage as well. Now, his surface level stats are great too, as he ranks 7th in passing yards and touchdowns, and he is top 5 in fantasy points per dropback. Simply put, Darnold has vastly exceeded expectations with him in Seattle. This is now 2 years in a row. Darnold has made fantasy creators look absolutely silly. And now this week, he gets a matchup against the Jaguars. I've been a very opportunistic defense this season, but you can still safely play opposing quarterbacks against them as they've allowed 260 passing yards and nearly 2 passing touchdowns per game and allowing the 7th most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. So Darnold is my QB12. Now, next up, I want to move over to a couple other quarterbacks that are must-plays for me as well that are probably a little bit more widely available or more. Maybe you might be making decisions about this week. And the first is going to be Matthew Stafford. Stafford never gets credit he deserves. He's been phenomenal this season through 5 games. He ranks 1st in passing yards, 2nd in passing touchdowns. He currently sports a healthy 8.2 yards per attempt, and he's 2nd in both deep ball and red zone attempts as well. Over his last 2 games, Stafford has scored 27.4 and 25.6 and is the QB9 in fantasy points per game. The Rams have been playing at one of the fastest pace in the league as well, ranking 3rd in pace and 5th in pass attempts per game. Both of these things bode really well this week for the Rams. They travel to Baltimore and to face a ravaged Ravens defense. The Ravens are allowing 270 passing yards and nearly 3 passing touchdowns per game. They have also allowed 25.4 fantasy points per game, which is the 2nd highest rate just behind the Cowboys to opposing quarterbacks. Stafford is a strong QB1 play for me this week. And lastly, it's going to be Mac Jones. In 3 starts this season, Mac has thrown for at least 279 yards and is averaging 2 passing touchdowns per game. He scored 21 or more fantasy points in 2 of those 3 games as well. The 49ers are averaging 41.8 pass plays per game, which is 1st in the league. Have been a fast-paced offense as well, ranking 4th in pace of play. Both breed fantasy goodness. Ricky Pearsall and Jawan Jennings both figure to return this week as well. It doesn't sound like Brock Purdy is going to be returning this week, but this week the 49ers travel to Tampa to take on a Bucs pass funnel defense. They're allowing 240 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns per game, and allowing 21.5 fantasy points per game, which ranks 6th most. If you're looking to stream, Mac Jones is one of, if not the best option this week. So let's keep it moving here, and we're going to move over to our running backs. And we're going to hit on is going to be Ashton Jeanty. Now, he falls a little bit in the category of guys that I typically don't like to talk about, but with just how rough his season started, I did want to mention Ashton Jeanty here, and he's really started to break out. The last 2 weeks, he scored 33.5 and 15.9 PPR points. He's currently the RB15, averaging 15 fantasy points per game. Some of the positives he's seeing is a very healthy 75% opportunity share. He also ranks 15th in breakaway run rate. He's top 3 in missed tackles forced. And also encouraging last week against the Colts, where he saw a season-high 7 targets in that game. If he can continue to see a heavy utilization in the passing game, he will be an easy RB1 for me rest of season. And now next up, Jeanty gets one of the best matchups for a running back. The Titans have allowed the 2nd most rushing yards, the most rushing touchdowns, and the 3rd most PPR points to running back. So Ashton Jeanty is an easy top 10 running back for me. Next up is going to be Rico Dowdle versus Dallas Cowboys. Everyone loves a good revenge game narrative, and this week we get that with Rico Dowdle taking on his former team in the Cowboys. Dowdle was the RB1 overall last week, ripping off 234 total yards and a touchdown against the Dolphins last week. He finished with 32.4 PPR points. He also handled 70% of the snaps and ran 45% of the routes. Now he gets another great matchup against the Cowboys run defense that has allowed the sixth most PPR points to running backs. Dowdle is very much a borderline RB1 for me this week. Let's keep moving. Let's move over to Quinshon Judkins this week. Judkins put up 71 or more yards or a touchdown in every game he's played this season. He's also been a top 20 running back at three straight games. He also ranks fourth in EPA per rush, 18th in yards per carry, and 16th in explosive run rate. Despite running just 22.4% of the routes, he does rank 10th in yards per route run. Overall, he ranks 12th in fantasy points per game and 7th in expected fantasy points per game. Despite how poor the Browns' offense has looked, Judkins has been one of the bright spots within this offense. And now he gets a very good matchup against the Steelers, who have allowed 95.3 rushing yards per game, 10th most, 41.5 receiving yards per game, the 8th most, and nearly a touchdown per game, and they are allowing the 11th most PPR points to running back. So Quinshon Judkins is set up very nicely again this week to put up another really solid week here in week 6. Let's keep it moving. We're going to move over to Bill or Jacory Kroski-Merritt. After weeks and weeks of being in a full three-way committee, the Commanders finally unleashed JCM. He finished last week playing about 50% of the snaps, 44% of the routes. He had 150 total yards and 2 scores for 27 PPR points. Chris Rodriguez was pretty much the odd man out. He didn't really play until late in that game once the game was over. And then with McNichol still maintaining his pass-catching role, while it is a limited sample size, JCM has been elite on a per-touch basis. He ranks 3rd in missed tackles forced per attempt, 4th in breakaway run rate, and 1st in yards per carry, and 2nd in yards per touch. I would still like to see him more involved in the passing game, and at least for now, he appears to be the early down back with some usage in the passing game. With how efficient he's been, he should still be a locked-in RB2 with RB1 upside. Now he gets an incredible matchup against one of the worst run defenses in the league. The Bears have allowed the 5th most rushing yards and 6th total touchdowns to running backs. Overall, they have allowed the 4th most PPR points to position. Fire up JCM with confidence this week. Next up, we're going to talk about is Cam Scataboo versus the Eagles. Since taking over as the lead back, Scataboo has played about 65% of the snaps, 90 or more total yards, and is averaging 17 PPR points per game over those three. On the season, he's averaging 12.6 carries and 4.5 targets. It does sound like Tyrone Tracy will make his return since suffering his shoulder injury, which cost him 2 games. We will have to see how things will shake out, but I find it hard to believe that Scataboo will lose significant touches or snaps here. I expect Tracy to be the RB2 moving forward. The Eagles defense has actually struggled against opposing running backs as they've allowed the 10th most rushing yards, the 11th most rushing touchdowns, the 8th most receiving yards, the 3rd most receiving touchdowns, and the 8th most PPR points to position. So I do think Scataboo is a very fine play despite getting this matchup against the Eagles. Next up, let's move over to the Chargers, where I think a lot of people are having questions this week about Hassan Haskins and Kamani Badal. Though I do feel this is a very similar situation to the Cardinals last week. Hampton was placed on IR, leaving Hassan Haskins and Badal as the backups to remain in this backfield. I expect the situation to play out very similar to the Cardinals, with Haskins playing the early down roles and getting the goal line work, with Badal playing the pass catching role and change of pace. With a matchup against the Dolphins on tap, I think Haskins and Badal are startable flex options. I do prefer Haskins, as the Dolphins have allowed the 5th most PPR points to running backs. I do think a couple other flex options you could look at this week. Kareem Hunt is the clear RB2 in the backfield for the Chiefs. However, he's also the preferred red zone back and has scored 3 touchdowns over his last 2 games. He's touchdown or bust, but playing for the Chiefs, he's gonna have plenty of opportunities to score touchdowns. Tony Pollard gets a rare, decent matchup last week with Tajay Spears returning. He still played 71% of the snaps, had 17 touches for 14.8 PPR points. The Titans take on a Raiders defense that has allowed the 2nd most touchdowns and the 15th most PPR points. Pollard is a solid RB3 with RB2 upside this week. Now, let's move over to the wide receiver position. And we're going to talk about is Xavier Worthy, who I have as a wide receiver 1 this week. Since returning from his shoulder injury in week 1, Worthy has been averaging 8.5 targets and an elite 29% target per route run rate. There has been a significant effort to try to get him involved down the field, as 6 of his 17 targets have been for 20 plus yards. With 1 more week until Rashee Rice returns, we figure to see Worthy play a major role in week 6 against the Lions. The Lions are extremely banged up in the secondary. They will be without their top 3 corners. They have already allowed the 6th most receiving yards, the 3rd most receiving touchdowns, and the 7th most PPR points. Worthy is a locked-in top 10 wide receiver for at least one more week. To keep moving here, we're going to move over to Tet McMillan. McMillan continues to see excellent usage through 5 weeks. He's already been targeted 43 times, which is the seventh highest rate. He ranks ninth in market share of air yards and is receiving a pretty solid 30% first-read target share. The issues have come from not scoring touchdowns yet, despite being top 15 in red zone targets. He scored double-digit fantasy points in every game but one, but hasn't topped more than 16 PPR points. Positive regression is bound to hit, and it could hit in a big way this weekend as McMillan faces a Cowboys defense that has allowed by far the most receiving yards and is tied for the most receiving touchdowns. In fact, they have allowed four more PPR points per game than the next closest team. If Ted is going to break out, this should be the week he does it. Now, let's keep moving. We're going to move over to Stephon Diggs. Now, he was in this video last week, and he returns again this week. Diggs has emerged as the Patriots wide receiver one the last 2 weeks. He's now been targeted 19 times, has 247 receiving yards, and is averaging 20.3 PPR points. His 30.4% target per route run rate also ranks fourth among all wide receivers, despite coming off a torn ACL. He already has the 11th most yards after the catch. From an efficiency standpoint, he ranks third in yards per route run. His 10.6 yards per target ranks 13th. It's incredible how good he's looked, despite being nearly 32 years old and coming off this injury. Diggs now travels to New Orleans with another solid matchup against the Saints. Diggs is a solid wide receiver to play for me this week. Next up, we're going to talk about is Devonta Smith. Now, it's been a frustrating year. Don't really any of the Eagles wide receivers. Devonta Smith has fantasy finishes of wide receiver 74, 51, and wide receiver 70. But he also has finishes of wide receiver 9 and wide receiver 10. He's currently averaging 11.6 fantasy points per game, which ranks 33rd. He's been pretty boom or bust so far, but it's hard to stack a bunch of quality performances when the Eagles are only averaging 30 pass attempts per game and you only receive an 18% target share. However, maybe we saw a change of tide last week with the Eagles throwing the ball 44 times against the Broncos. Even if the Eagles can get to the league average and just pass attempts, things could change for A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith as being a little bit more reliable week-to-week option. But next up for Devonta Smith is a very good matchup against the Giants, who have allowed the third most PPR points to opposing wide receivers. And furthermore, they have actually allowed the most PPR points to the slot position, where Devonta Smith runs over 50% of his routes, which ranks fourth among all wide receivers. It's always risky betting on any Eagles wide receivers, but I do think this sets up very well from Devonta Smith. He's a high-end wide receiver three for me this week. Let's keep moving. We're going to move over to Calvin Ridley versus the Raiders. After being absolutely terrible the first 4 weeks of the season, things finally fell into place for Calvin Ridley, amassing 131 total yards on 10 targets for 18 PPR points. This isn't one of the spots where I could point out all these underlying metrics to support a turnaround coming. He's currently receiving a 23% target per hour run rate, which isn't bad, but not great. He's also only been targeted on four passes of 20-plus yards and only one red zone target. But that could be explained just how bad this offense has been. He's also seeing a 27% first-read target share, which ranks 27th. He's been pretty average across the board. However, the Titans' offense has a chance to come to life here against the Raiders' terrible pass defense. The Raiders are currently allowing the fourth most receiving yards and the fifth most receiving touchdowns to wide receivers. However, they are yielding the fourth most PPR points to wide receivers, making Ridley a solid flex option this week. Another a couple flex options that I wanted to mention really quickly as well. Trey Tucker is a bit up and down as he scored double-digit fantasy points in 3 of his 5 week games. He's also run 95% of the routes, which is always going to lead to some opportunity to have meaningful fantasy production. With Brock Bowers banged up, there isn't a lot of weapons in this offense. Trey Tucker should see probably around 6 to 8 targets and faces a Titans secondary that has allowed the ninth most fantasy points to wide receivers. Darnell Mooney is expected to return from injury after their week 5 bye. I know he's been basically useless so far, but the bye week rest up should help. This game against the Bills profiles one of the highest scoring games in the slate. I want pieces from this game, so I think wide receivers like Darnell Mooney, Keon Coleman, and Khalil Shakir all should be viewed as wide receiver 3/wide receiver 4s with upside. Lastly, Josh Downs is exclusively a slot wide receiver. He runs 75% of his routes from the slot. Also comes off the field on 2 wide receiver sets, but this is a decent matchup against the Cardinals defense that has allowed the 8th most PPR points to slot wide receivers this year. Downs is another solid wide receiver 4/flex play for me this week. Lastly, let's move over to the tight end position. We're going to start with Darren Waller. Yes, 33-year-old Darren Waller saw a big jump, only running 10 routes in week 4 to running 26 in week 5. In week 5, he had another big game, hauling in all five of his targets for 78 yards and a score. With Tyreek Hill out for the season, expect for Dolphins to continue to utilize Waller for as long as he can stay healthy. It's clear he's the primary target inside the red zone, and he's already caught 3 touchdowns. With how bad the tight end position has been this season, Waller will likely be a top 12 option for as long as he can hold up. That's really no different this week against the Chargers. Next up, let's talk about Hunter Henry. Henry usually has been up and down this season. He has two games with eight or more targets, and he has three games with four or fewer. Either way, he's been efficient with his opportunities. He ranks first in deep targets, second in red zone targets. He also ranks seventh in yards per route run. His 14.7 yards per reception ranks second among tight ends. He's currently the tight end eight, averaging 12 PPR points per game. And next up is a very good matchup against a Saints defense that has allowed the most touchdowns and the sixth most PPR points to tight ends. So we're firing up Hunter Henry. Let's move over to Jake Todgers against the Bucs. We are going back to Old Faithful here for at least one more week. He's now posted scores of 14.8 and 17.1 over his last two games while being targeted 16 times. It also helps that despite seeing a 19.9% target per run rate, he plays for an offense that is averaging nearly 42 pass attempts per game. He's also been the primary read in the red zone with four end zone targets, which already is top 11 among tight ends. But while Kittle likely returns in week seven, we could fire up Jake Todgers with confidence this week. Now, a couple other options. Mason Taylor and Theo Johnson have been my guys the last few weeks. While I still think both are very good options moving forward, I'm a bit lower on them this week than consensus, but with matchup against the Broncos and Eagles, let me be clear, the tight end position has been so bad this year. I still think with their usage rates, they're still very much in play, but I'm just not as excited about them this week than I was last week. So that being said, let me know in the comments section below if you have any questions, whether they be start sit questions, whether they be trade questions, free agency questions, waiver questions, whatever you have. You, we'll be sure to get you, all your questions answered, get you ready for this week. Let's get some dubs this week. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with two times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.